Is the Turkish situation spreading? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The Turkish currency is down again this morning. It's lost about 20% of its value against the dollar over the last 10 days. Some of this is the Turkish president, who is not a determined believer in central bank independence. He likes to pressure Turkish officials to keep interest rates down, even if the economics indicate otherwise. And there's news today that the European Central Bank has begun to monitor the exposure of some foreign banks to the crisis in Turkey. Let's get a briefing from Brian Lawson, senior consultant on banking economics and country risk at IHS Market in London. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what is happening in Turkey is not staying in Turkey. European officials are increasingly watching this.
Very much so, in that there are a number of European banks that have some quite sizable exposures to the Turkish economy. If we look at the likes of BBVA and UniCredit, each of them have significant shareholdings in major Turkish banks. And inevitably, with the weakness in the Turkish currency, the value of those investments are now declining.
But to be clear, are you seeing signs of a contagion effect in which instability in Turkey has spread to other countries, other emerging markets?
Turkey is a problem, but it's a local problem at this stage. There is no fundamental run on emerging market assets, nor has there been any view that Turkey is really going to cause widespread economic contagion. What it does do is have a disproportionate effect on those parties most exposed to the country. And that is why the individual share prices of BBVA, UniCredit, and Deutsche Bank this morning have shown weakness.
Brian Lawson, who watches this at IHS Market, thank you very much for the briefing.
Thank you.
The Turkish currency is also under pressure, with tensions rising with the U.S. after Turkey arrested a U.S. pastor accused by the Turks of espionage. The lira is down to 5.92 to the dollar now. Some other numbers: money is going into U.S. government bonds, as it sometimes does during nervous times. The yield on the government's 10-year note is at 2.9% now. Stocks, the S&P future, is down 0.4%. A common and controversial pesticide has been banned by a U.S. federal court. The chemical has been linked to developmental disabilities in children, and there's been a protracted battle to stop its use on crops, Marketplace's Jed Kim reports.
The health impacts of chlorpyrifos have been characterized for years, and the EPA had been moving to ban it
until Scott Pruitt became administrator and then at the end of March 2017 decided not to ban this chemical.
Marissa Ordonia is with Earth Justice, which sued to remove the chemical. Some hope the ruling is a sign that more reversals are coming. Michael Halperin is with the Union of Concerned Scientists.
A lot of the decisions that were made under Scott Pruitt should be revisited, because many of them did sideline science and put the public health at risk.
Dow DuPont is the largest producer of chlorpyrifos. It's used on a lot of crops, including soybeans, apples, and oranges. Will Roger is a spokesman for the American Farm Bureau Federation. He says farmers like it because it's cheap and effective.
Is it the end of the world? Probably not. But it might well end up putting some farmers out of business if they can't use it.
As of now, the EPA has 60 days to ban the pesticide. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
I'm Shepard from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I listen to Marketplace several times, actually every day, because it's got the economic news and developments that are important to me. I donate to Marketplace so that it can be available to everyone, and I hope you'll join me in this effort. Thanks.
To join Shepard as a Marketplace investor, donate online at marketplace.org.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
Now to the market for the talisman, the fetish, the charm touched by a celebrity. I have late comedian Rodney Dangerfield's terracotta casserole, and I ain't selling. But at Graceland in Memphis this weekend, there's a big auction of items that include an Elvis jacket, brown suede with beaded fringe. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra reports on how the modern celebrity auction came to be.
As a public school teacher in New York City, Richard Andino's not making boatloads of money. But that doesn't stop him from attending celebrity auctions. Here he is at a Park Avenue sale last month. He dropped $5,000 on a gold watch.
It's something that belonged to my idol, so it's worth it.
His idol? The mid-century jazz legend Art Tatum, who is known as one of the greatest piano players of all time. Andino, who's 53 and plays piano himself, has been obsessed with Tatum since he was a teenager. That's why he's willing to pay up.
These people have touched us so deeply. They brought us magic, and their magic still resides in the things that they have touched and that they have known.
Celebrity auctions are a global business, raking in millions of dollars a year. And they got their start in 1970, with a sale focusing on the golden age of Hollywood.
You have to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz.
MGM, the studio that brought us classic films like The Wizard of Oz and Singin' in the Rain, had run into some financial trouble. Leo Brody teaches at the University of Southern California.
The kind of bean counters had come in, and they wanted to raise money, they wanted to get rid of things, so they sold something like 7 sound stages worth of stuff.
Including Dorothy's iconic ruby red slippers. The costumes and props sold for $1.5 million to an auctioneer. One news report said he flipped them for 8 times that. The celebrity auction was born. It got another bump in the late 70s. A London-based rock and roll-themed restaurant called the Hard Rock Cafe started lining its walls with guitars played by the likes of Pete Townsend and Eric Clapton.
It made people aware that there was, in fact, a market for this type of memorabilia, whereas, you know, it was a well-kept secret before that.
Giles Moon, with the auction house Heritage Auctions, says the business has gotten even bigger since then, as the internet has made it possible for people to bid online from anywhere.
It's really blown the market out globally, so there's, you know, a lot of interest from all over the world.
Heritage has sold some weird stuff over the years. A lock of David Bowie's hair, Elvis's empty pill bottles. Moon says a lot of buyers are looking for a connection to a star. Others just want the bragging rights. I'm Mariel Segarra for Marketplace.
We're also continuing our look at changing attitudes toward bullies, toward bosses who are bullies. Several experts in the series warn that human resources is not always your friend in these cases. I speak with an HR veteran about what HR can and cannot do. Marketplace.org later if you missed that on the air. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Our engineer, Brian Allison. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.